October 31st will be the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther nailing the 95 Theses on the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany, which declared his newfound understanding of the biblical truth of justification by faith. Luther was a Roman Catholic. He was a priest. He was also a professor. But he never had any peace. He struggled constantly with the fact that he just could not understand how you could get to heaven by just obeying all the rules and regulations of Catholicism. And he read the Word constantly. And one day he came across this statement in the book of Romans: the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And that stuck in his heart, that stuck in his mind. He began to ponder it. He began to read the scriptures with a new point of view, and finally came to realize that he needed just to surrender his heart and his life to Jesus Christ in order to have the peace that he just could not find obeying all the rules and regulations of his religious system. Now, I want us this morning to think about what it means to be justified. What is justification? Someone said, it means just as if I never sinned. And that is the most simple definition of the word justification. Just as if I had never sinned. Now, every one of us are sinners. And every one of us who claim that we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior still battle sin in our life. It's not as much. It may not be as bad, and I say in quotes, bad, because all sin is sin, and all sin is worthy of death. Whether it's that little white lie, whatever a white lie is, I never quite figured that out. A lie is a lie, right? Whether it's hatred in your heart towards somebody, whether it's a lack of prayer in your life, whether it's the fact you just kind of follow along on the edges, you try to climb and walk on the top of the fence, but you know what happens when you walk on top of the fence? You fall off, and it's probably on the wrong side. You know, there's good sides of the fence, and there's bad sides of the fence. One time, a farmer was accused of growing marijuana on his farm. And so the government official shows up. And he says, I want to search your farm, and here's my badge. The farmer said, okay, you go anywhere you want, just don't go into that field right over there. Well, don't you know, that's where the government inspector went first. And the farmer went back to his chores, and pretty soon he heard screaming and yelling, and he runs outside. And here comes the government official running across the pasture as fast as he could, being chased by the great big bull. And the farmer yells to him, show him your badge. I stole that. We are all sinners, folks. We are all sinners. They're big in the sight of God. They may not be big to you, but they are to God. And God justifies the believer, the one who exercises faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you are a Christian and you are still playing on that fence and you are still struggling with all of those sins of your past, then hopefully today the message is going to help you to understand what God has done for you and for me. What is the meaning of justification? It is to declare one righteous on the merit of someone else. God declares you and me righteous. You say, but I don't act very righteous. I know, neither do I. But in my position, God has declared me righteous on behalf of what his holy son Jesus did for me when he died on that cross and when he rose again from the dead. First of all, God demands a just payment. God says, be ye holy as I am holy. And you say, but I can't. So a just payment has been demanded. But then the payment has been provided. The story is told one time of a young man who got himself in a bit of trouble and he ended up in court as the accused. And the man behind the bench, the judge, with his big black robe and his stern look, said, that will be a fine of $100. And the accused young man dropped his head because he did not have $100. The judge stood up. He took off his robe. He laid it across his chair. He walked out from behind the bar. He went down to the table where the accused was standing. He pulled out his wallet and laid a $100 bill on the table beside the young man. He walked back up. He took his black robe. He put it back on. He sat down in his chair. He assumed his stern look. And he said, young man, the fine is $100. Now that young man has a choice. Does he ignore the fact that he has just been given a $100 bill and say, I cannot pay? Or does he pick up the $100 bill and walk up to the bar and lay it on the bar and say, sir, payment has been provided? I want you to realize, my friend, that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Christ's perfect righteousness has been accounted for you and me. That is the truth that you need to grab onto. Christ's perfect righteousness has been accounted to you and me. Now let's look at the object of justification. The object of justification. Look at verse 22 and 23 in our text. I'm going to start at verse 19 because I didn't read that, but I'm going to read now to you. Now we know that whatsoever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. I've already said that, haven't I? All of us are sinners. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You and I cannot earn salvation. You and I cannot get righteousness. We cannot earn it. We cannot buy it. You can do all the penance you want. You can go through all the services of the church that you can. You can do everything you can in your power to be the kind of person you ought to be. And it's to no avail. Because all of our righteous deeds are as filthy rags, it says in the Old Testament. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law and prophets refers to the Old Testament. Refers to the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But it also refers to the prophets. You say, what are they? Well, that's pretty much the rest of the Old Testament. There were those five books that are called the books of poetry. That would be Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. But then the last 12 and 5, the last 17 books of your Old Testament, are all prophecy. And so the Law and the Prophets refers to the Old Testament. He said they are witnessed by the Law and Prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there's no difference. Now, we read this morning chapter 4 of the book of Romans, and you saw that God justifies both the circumcised and the uncircumcised. Now, we all know what that's talking about. The circumcised was referring to the Jews. The uncircumcised refers to us non-Jews, us Gentiles. And so we read here, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ. Do you have that? Justification comes by faith in Jesus Christ on all who believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all know that verse by heart, don't we? Being justified freely by his grace. So justification comes through faith, it comes through grace, and it comes through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now I love verse 25. It has one of my favorite words in it. Whom God set forth to be a propitiation. The word propitiation means a satisfactory sacrifice. Jesus satisfied the holy demands of God. That $100 bill that the judge laid on that table by that boy is a picture of what Jesus did for you and I, provided the price that was demanded by the Father. The Father demands perfection and holiness. You and I cannot provide it. And so God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to provide it for us. You see it up there on the board, up on the screen, I mean. First of all, justification is based on redemption. The price has been paid. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, it tells us because of redemption, you and I are acceptable to God. If we accept his redemption as ours in our behalf. Secondly, the goal is to bring us to God, to enable us. Let's go to this one. Does that make more sense? Redemption is based on the payment. We said that. The propitiation is satisfaction. We have satisfied God through Jesus Christ. And it's based on character. How in the world are we qualified to get redemption? We aren't, except through faith. We trust what God said and God did as ours. I put this together a little bit wrong, didn't I? All right. We missed something. Here it is. The object of justification is to reconcile us to God, to enable us to receive saving grace, to prepare us to live in his presence, and to enable us to serve him. Let me say them again. The object of justification is to reconcile us to God, to enable us to receive saving grace, to prepare us to live in his presence, and to enable us to serve him. And Martin Luther, 500 years ago, came to understand that point. He came to realize that God had provided redemption. It was not through the church. It was not through the sacraments. It was not through all of that penance. It was by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the imputation. You say, what in the world is imputation? Well, it comes from impute. What does it mean to impute? It means to give something to someone else, to credit their account. My account in heaven has been settled. The old account was settled long ago. And the record here below, can't remember the rest of those words, but the record here below has been cleared up. And Jesus has justified you and me. And then let's stretch on to the next one. The scope of justification. We looked at the meaning of justification, to declare one righteous on the merit of another. There was a just payment demanded, and the justifier met that payment in your behalf and mine. Christ, the perfect righteousness, was accounted to us. Then we looked at the object of justification, to reconcile us to God, to enable us to receive a saving grace, to prepare us to live in His presence, and to enable us to serve Him. And then we considered the basis of redemption, the basis of justification, based on a payment that's been paid, based on a propitiation. Jesus was satisfied. You say, how do you know that? Well, look at verse 24 and 25. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, we have been justified freely. Through verse 25, whom God set forth to be the propitiation by His blood through faith to declare or demonstrate, as it says in New King James, to declare or to demonstrate His righteousness. I like the word declare. He declares His righteousness has been credited to your account, to my account. And the old account was settled long ago. And then, propitiation, God is satisfied because Jesus paid it all. And then finally, qualification. You and I are qualified now to receive eternal life. Isn't that a wonderful truth? We're qualified. We're made acceptable, Ephesians 1 said. We're qualified. And then the imputation of justification. On the positive side, it's imputed to you and I by God. Then it's imputed to you and I by faith. But on the negative, it is not imputed by works. You say, but what about works? I'm glad you asked. When you are born again, then you better start producing good works. You better start growing in grace and knowledge of Him. You have new life within. You should have new goals, new desires, new interests. The old things are passed away, the Bible says. And all things become new. And so the works, James talks about them, the works are evidence that you have trusted Jesus as Savior. They are not the means by which you trusted Jesus as Savior. They are the evidence that follows that decision and that moment in time when you became a child of God. Then the works kick in. But you cannot earn your way to heaven. Neither does your race or your ethnic background have anything to do with it. We sing that song, we call it a children's song, because it said Jesus loves the little children. I want you to know something, He loves you too. Red and yellow, brown and white, all are precious in His sight. Remember that? If you know that song, you know I changed something, didn't I? I changed the word "and" to brown. There are a lot of dark people that are not Negro. They're not Africans. They didn't come from Africa. There are some Indians from India who are as dark as anybody on the continent of Africa. But they're not, they don't have the features of the person from Africa. They have the features of somebody else, the people from India. God loves everyone. Your skin color, your ethnic background has nothing to do with salvation. It's not an American invention. It's not a white middle class thing. Jesus died for all. And that includes you and me, doesn't it? And then we talk about the scope, the time of salvation. Now, I don't know what that is for you. But I hope that you know when you got saved. And if you say, well, my mommy or daddy said that I prayed a prayer and asked Jesus in my heart when I was 4 years old or five, guess what? It may not be the real thing. If there's no peace and joy in your heart and you can't successfully point back to the time or the place, then chances are you're not really saved. There needs to be a definite time. Today would be a great day to drive the stake in the ground. I recently had a person call me and talk to me about this very thing. They were having struggles and they were wondering if they really were saved or not. I said, it is not wrong to confirm your faith again. I said, pick this day, this time, write it in the flyleaf of your Bible that on this particular date, at this particular time, I made sure Jesus was my Lord and Savior. She said she would. Now, I call that driving a stake in the ground. And I know where I got saved. It wasn't in this church, but it was that pew right there in the church I was in as a little kid. I knelt right there. There was a basket of fruit sitting right there in the corner of the pew. My mother was next to me, and Pastor John Massey was right there when I asked Jesus in my heart at the age of five. You better have a stake driven in the ground somewhere. You better have a place you can go back to and say, at that day and at that time, with so-and-so as my witness, I asked Jesus to become my Lord and Savior. And then the duration. The duration is forever. If you are really born again, my friend, it is forever. It's eternal life I give unto you, Jesus said. John 3:16, we all know it by heart, let's say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the verse just prior to that, use the word eternal. In the verse right after that, it uses the word eternal. When you go to the Greek language, the word that is translated everlasting and eternal are the same thing. Eternal gives you the idea that it never had a beginning and the end. Everlasting or forever gives the idea it has a starting point, but continues on forever and forever and forever. And when you drive that stake in the ground, so to speak, and you write in the flyleaf of your Bible, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, or I made sure that Jesus Christ is my Savior on such and such a day. Write that in your Bible. Put that stake in the ground. I'm serious. Now there's a defrauder. You know what a defrauder is? Somebody that cheats you. Someone that deliberately connives to do you out of something. Maybe money, maybe property. That's defrauding. Has the idea of cheating. Now, there are many, many people sitting in the pews in church around the world that have been defrauded and think they are saved, and they're not. Why? Because, like I said before, somebody told them they were saved somewhere, sometime, but that never changed in here. Don't be led astray by fake news from the devil. You see, the devil does not want you getting saved. He does not want you enjoying your salvation if you are saved. Don't think that you can earn anything such as justification. Justification is a gift. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, that's over in Ephesians chapter 2, and you all know that verse by heart as well. To think that there needs to be more. There are churches and denominations that teach you are not saved until you're baptized. They are defrauding. That's not true. You're not saved by baptism. You're not saved by the baptism when you were a child or an infant. You're not saved by the baptism when you're an adult. That's not what saves you. You're saved by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And so we close with this question. Are you sure? Are you absolutely positive that you have been born into God's family? That you have been justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you? Let's pray. If you are not sure, right there in your seat, why not make sure? Why not pray and say, "Oh Lord God, I'm not sure. I don't have the confidence and the peace that I'm really a child of God. Please come into my life right now, Father. Wash away all of my sins and make me your child." Pray that simple prayer and then write that in the flyleaf of your Bible. You've just put a stake in the ground. You may have been saved a long time ago, but if you don't have the peace and you don't have the joy that comes with true salvation, you're probably not saved. Even though you go to church every Sunday and you've been doing everything right, but if there's no peace, there's no joy, you don't have the goods. So make sure right now. Heavenly Father, we bring before you this wonderful congregation of people. You know what each one's condition is. You know what their relation is before you. And I ask God, if there's a man, a woman, a boy, or girl in our congregation today who does not know you as Lord and Savior absolutely, joyfully, then I pray, Father, that right now they'll settle it with you. That the old account be settled right here this morning. Bless each one, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.